Reverend Sharon, she is here, yay! And Reverend Sharon, for your new one, she was our last minister we had before Vernetta, and she served this church so lovingly, and she continues to come back and serve us every other month. So we're just so grateful you're here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I am glad to be here, and I know Karen's really glad I'm here too. I scared her to death. Why is she calling? Anyway, not surprisingly, we're going to be talking about trust today. Eric Butterworth, as you probably know, is one of my favorite writers, Unity writers, and he says frequently in his books, he says, God only wants good for you, in various ways. But I mean, that's kind of a theme. God only wants good for you. And I always feel real good about that, don't you? You know, just kind of a warm, warm feeling. Well, I read something the other day that just kind of got my attention because it was even stronger than a warm feeling. Let me share it with you. Hope it works after I dropped it. Does anybody get positive daily inspirations? Okay, well, you wouldn't have seen this then. A couple weeks ago, this ministry was started by a man named Chris Chenoweth. He used to be the minister at church. What is it called? The chapel?
Unity Village Chapel,
yes. And just really an amazing man. When he resigned from that, he started this online ministry, and it continues even though he's passed since then. So these come, and sometimes they're like that. Oh, that feels good, you know. And sometimes, like this one, it really got my attention. This one is about a legend, a Cherokee Indian legend. And it says this. It's short. Oh. Do you know the legend of the Cherokee Indian youth's rite of passage? His father takes him into the forest, blindfolds him, and leaves him alone. He's required to sit on a stump the entire time, the whole night, and not remove the blindfold until the rays of the morning sun shine through it. He cannot cry out for help to anyone. Once he survives the night, he is a man. He cannot tell the other boys of his experience because each lad must come into manhood on his own. The boy is naturally terrified. I'd like for you to just imagine yourself in this situation. He can hear all kinds of noises. Wild beasts must surely be all around him, maybe even some human that wants to do him harm. The wind blew the grass and earth and shook his stump, but he sat stoically, never removing the blindfold. It would be the only way he could become a man. Finally, after a horrific night, the sun appeared and he removed his blindfold. It was then that he discovered his father sitting on the stump next to him. He had been at watch the entire night, protecting his son from harm. It still gives me goosebumps when I read it, you know? It's just beautiful. Powerful, powerful, powerful. Thinking about that young man sitting there, just imagine with your eyes closed, a blindfold on, you can't see anything that might be coming, you hear all these noises. I think it would be terrifying, absolutely terrifying. I can relate to fear. Mine was nothing like sitting on the stump, but you know, just halfway here and thinking, oh Lord. No, it was kind of an anxious moment. But there are lots of times when we're afraid. And I think about this young man and how he must have felt when he saw his father sitting next to him. That's, you know, where I get a warm feeling, God only wants good for you. Well, imagine this young man sitting, knowing, seeing his dad, And he's been there all night. What a sense of love, what a sense of security and safety he must have been feeling. But that fear and that unknowing, that not knowing. So here he is sitting and he's all by, he thinks he's all by himself, he can't see anything approaching. That fear it's got to be overwhelming. Reminds me of a joke. And you've probably heard it before. It seems that there was a man who visited a canyon in the Southwest. It was a beautiful canyon. And he walked over to kind of the edge, but not like right on the edge, just to survey what he was looking at. Well, the ground gave away and he started to fall. And he fell just a little ways and there was a tree, small tree growing out of the side of the canyon, and he grabbed hold of it. And he was hanging on, just terrified as you would be. It's a canyon, you know? And so he, nobody's around, so he calls out, "Help! Someone help!" And this deep voice sounds, it says, "Do not worry, my child. I am here. I will save you. This is God. Let go of the tree." And the man, are you sure? "Do not be afraid, my son. Let go of the tree." And the guy is holding on to the branch. He looks at the tree. He looks up. He's too far to climb up. He looks down. It's way far down there. So then he, "Is there anybody else up there?" When you can't see, touch, feel, you know, experience some physical representation of safety, it can be pretty overwhelming. So there are lots of ways that we experience fear. Has anyone in here ever felt betrayed? Yeah, I think it's kind of a normal human condition that we sometime in our life feel betrayed. Maybe we have felt threatened by something. Nothing like being, wild boar coming at you, but lots of things make us afraid. Well, how do we handle that fear? Our bodies are hardwired to protect us. Back when there were wild boars, our bodies are engineered so that when there is danger, we'll go into that fight, flight, or freeze mode. That's the primitive brain, and it gives us extra adrenaline and surges whatever is needed in various muscles in the body to get out of the way of danger. All of that. We don't have wild boars in St. Charles anymore, but that response still happens. We still feel that fight, flight, or freeze reaction when it is something that we feel very threatened about. So how can we get from this fear whenever something comes up to that trust that we know that the young man must have felt? A couple things. One of them is, first of all, we have to know who to trust. Has anybody ever told you that you're too trusting? Yeah, me, yeah. Used to be really bad at it, but when we're talking about trusting people, not God, because the whole Indian legend thing is a metaphor for the Father is always there. God is always with us. We know in unity that God is everywhere present within us, so it's not like we can be separate. But with knowing in our earth, I'll say this, in our earthly experience, I think sometimes we then project onto God whatever those experiences are. So I had trouble with trust for many, many years, still struggle a little bit. But one time, at one retreat, actually, I realized that I was projecting my sense of suspicion and fear onto God. So we want to know, we can trust, we want to know and experience, like that young man did, trust for God, or with God. But we also, it would do us well to be able to learn to trust appropriately. So, trust is earned. You know, depending on how you're raised. My dad was very protective, and so if he saw that somebody was being too rough or playing hard with me, he would make me come in. You know, I never learned to handle that. You know, I don't think I'm good at that. So I just would cower. Trust is earned, and what I began to see was, if I told a secret to someone, if we tell a secret to someone, we watch and see what they do with that. Do they keep it to themselves and honor what you've asked, or do they spread it around indiscriminately, maybe even to hurt or betray? Brené Brown, in one of her books, describes a situation with her daughter who was very hurt by someone at school that betrayed a secret. And when I went to the chapel, Aaron, who was, still is, I think, the minister there, had a thing where she had a jar at the front, and it represented trust. And so if you go, every time somebody does something, in this case it was God, but you can have a jar at home, maybe even a non-physical one. Every time somebody does something that acknowledges that trust, you put a pebble in the jar. So when the jar is getting pretty full, you know this is a trustworthy person. Conversely, if somebody does something and they betray your trust, you can take out one or two, and you know, you can tell. Probably you don't need a jar to figure out that that's happening, but just to be mindful that trust is earned, and it is up to us to be discerning in that. And then second, we have to use critical thinking. The first church that I served after ordination was in Texas, and the board president down there said something that I thought was very profound, and I've used it through the years, and it is consider the source. In a lot of the crime shows, they always say, follow the money. Well, this is consider the source, and it's kind of similar, you know, because if you are having an exchange with the other person and they seem to be wanting to persuade you to do something, consider the source. Are they interested in your well-being or in theirs? And is there a winner-loser kind of thing? Use critical thinking. Just think about this. Where's this coming from, and what do you think they really have in mind? Consider the source. We cannot go around just trusting anybody who says anything. Otherwise, one commercial, and we would go out and spend fortunes on anything that's going to make us young and pretty and rich and healthy. So we have to be discerning. We have to realize that trust is earned. Is it foolproof? No. I think that even the people who have the jars with the lots and lots of pebbles will occasionally be off. I have a bad day. Just something is not going well, and may end up not being trustworthy in a particular situation. We are fallible as humans. We're not perfect. God is, but we're not. Another thing that can get in the way of being trusting is sometimes people think of fear as weakness. And we may not want to admit that we're afraid because, you know, I'd be weak. I wouldn't be strong if I admitted that I was afraid. There were the commercials, do you remember them, where usually it was a guy and something would happen, maybe he'd get knocked over or something, and he'd bounce right back up, and I'm good, you know, I got this. Not allowing fear or anything to govern his thought, just going to bounce right back up and do it again. Fear is not showing weakness. In fact, there is courage required to step into something that makes you afraid. if it's wise to do that, but just being afraid is not a weakness. By now, we've talked about trust enough that we may kind of begin to realize that trust sounds a whole lot like faith. And I see this kind of a stepping stone, trust and faith, particularly when you're thinking about the divine spirit, God. Faith, you guys probably know about these Bibles, right? These study Bibles. Did Fernetta tell you about them? Yes, okay, good. This is wonderful, I love this thing. So I looked up faith. Faith is defined in Hebrews 11, first verse. And this has a revealing word and some metaphysical interpretation too. It's all right here, it's pretty cool. So Hebrews 11, 1 says, "Now faith is assurance of things hoped for, proof of things not seen." Think about that young man on the stump. He had faith. Charles Fillmore in Revealing Word says, "Faith means the perceiving power of the mind linked with the power to shape substance." The perceiving power of the mind, our ability to imagine something, and then link that with substance, God, faith. It is spiritual assurance, the power to do the seemingly impossible. It says, it is a magnetic power that draws us into our heart's desire from the invisible spiritual substance. Faith is a deep inner knowing that that which is sought is already ours for the taking. That's faith. That's trust. We want that, I think. I think all of us do. All of us want to know and believe and really just rest in that awareness that God only wants good for us. The discoverer of the Butterworth, thank you, yes. Not a good day. That's what we want, is we want to just always have that. That's my go-to. That's my go-to. Every single time I get uncomfortable, every time I feel some fear coming up, I did use this on the way over. You know, just once I realized I need to hear, turned around and I just breathed and trusted that all is well. Y'all aren't going to hate me. Maybe there was an accident that I was able to avoid by being like, I don't know. I trust. It all worked out fine. And you didn't throw rocks, which is really So that's what we want. How do we increase faith? The answer to any kind of question like that you have to know is always prayer and meditation. That's always the answer. But sometimes it seems a little pat. We might want just a little bit of something to invite us to think about that more and bring that in more. Think about an aspirin bottle, mine is a Tylenol, you know, it's Tylenol, and it's a plastic bottle, and so on the lid, there's a little arrow kind of thing that points down. On the bottle itself, on the rim, there's another little arrow. So when you want to open the bottle, you align the arrows, and it opens easily. If those arrows are not aligned, can you get that thing open? No, it cannot, not without smashing it. So we want to do this, increase our faith, by doing like we do with the aspirin bottle. We want to be able to align our human selves with that power within us, with that sacred space, with that God, that Christ within. And when we are aligned, then we have this amazing power. It is then that we put our minds on what we want. And if it is in this situation, if we want trust, we think on that, with that alignment, and we will increase faith, no doubt about it. So of course, that legend is an allegory, a metaphor, if you will, of, about Father sitting on the stump. But it's not a bad one. You know, sometimes if you think about some physical thing, God is right next to me. God is right inside me. God is in my heart. It helps. So we trust. Let's take just a few moments now to affirm together the teachings that Jesus gave us when he showed us the Lord's Prayer. This is a way of affirming truth. So if you will join me.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
If you haven't already, I invite you to close your outer eyes and to just become still. There is such beautiful energy here in this room, in this building. We allow ourselves to trust and to open our hearts and our minds. We are safe. We are among loved ones, friends, church family. All is well. It is good to take time to remember from time to time these very basic things that we may lose sight of when we get busy with ordinary daily activities. But in this time, in this moment, and in moments ahead, today, in this week, in this month, we remember. God and I are one. With God, all things are possible. We trust. When we trust, there is a deep relaxation that happens, and I feel it now, and I invite you to allow yourself to feel your body releasing, letting go of tension, tightness. When we trust, we have faith that all is well, no matter what the outer circumstances. And at a very deep soul level, even if the outer experiences some pain, some discomfort, we are fine. The truth of us, the essence of us, is at one, aligned with this internal power, this and external power, this power that is all. Nothing can disturb that. We use our human mind, we use our powers of discernment and so forth to give us guidance in our day-to-day activities. But it's from that wellspring of faith that we are guided, that tells us the steps that we are to take. And that faith, that alignment, allows us to be peaceful, to be the love that we are, to be the joy that we are in expression when we are aligned. And so now let us take just a few moments in silence to experience this alignment, this faith, this knowing all is well in the silence. this place of peace and love. We're reminded once again of our true purpose, our true sense of being. We are here to be the best that we can, to express the Christ qualities, the characteristics, the ways of being that are uniquely ours to express. We set an intention to come back to this practice every day, reminding ourselves of truth. We are created in love. We are here to express love. As we remove and release stress in any of its forms, we are better channels for those Christ qualities to come through. And so we wrap that around us, feeling the love, feeling the joy, and feeling gratitude. So we, with that love and with that gratitude, we simply say, thank you, thank you, thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.
Amen.